B'chasta Hashem, we're zochet to another week of learning the Kedushas Levi. I apologize for running a bit behind schedule this week. It's Erev Shabbos, and I hope that people have a chance to listen to this recording. If not before Shabbos, after Shabbos, and if not this year, Emir Tashem, one of the good things about Torah is that Parshas Pinchas comes around at least once a year. We also read it on Yom Tov, but you have many opportunities to look back at these psukim. So let's begin with the first piece. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, a Kohen, Kadosh Baruch Hu, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas deserves a tremendous reward. What did Pinchas do that was so amazing? Heishiv es chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael, b'kanu es kenasi b'socham. That Pinchas had the ability, through taking an act of vengeance upon Cosby and Zimri, to turn back Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger. Hashem was quite angry at Klal Yisrael, and there was potential for much loss. There was much loss. And potential for even worse suffering through the plague that was unfolding at the end of last week's parsha. And Pinchas came to the rescue. Heishiv es chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He turned back my anger, b'kano es kenasi, by acting with a vengeance on behalf of Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo chilisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kenasi. And therefore Hashem would not destroy Klal Yisrael. Explains the Berditchever by connecting it to a pasuk that we think of during the Bein HaMetzarim. In the first parak of Eicha, it says, Chet Chata Yerushalayim, Alkein Lenida Hayasa. Chet Chata Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim has committed the sin, and therefore it's like a Nida. Explains the Berditchever, there's two types of Averos. Haklal Ki Yesha Adam Chas V'Shalom Yasa Eza Avera Machmas Taiva. Sometimes a person does an Avera because of a particular temptation. They can't control their desire. Not that that's a good thing. But there's that's one type of Avera. There's another type of Avera, which is more, seemingly more egregious, where a person doesn't even enjoy the Avera, but they do it simply to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesh chas v'shalom sha'adam osa Avera l'hachis v'lo taiva klal. There's a momer l'te'avon, there's a person who rebels against God for the taiva, and there's a person who's a momer l'hachis, a person who does an act of Avera to confront HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to challenge Hashem, to anger Hashem. Interesting to think that such a person still believes in Hashem. That's why he's doing the Avera, to anger God. But either way, it's a very significant Avera. Val Elu Namar, and about such individuals, it says, Pasuk in Yecheskel, it's quoted here in my edition of the Kedushas Levi backwards. I don't know if it's a printer's error or the Berditchever quoted the Pasuk this way. But the Pasuk, it's printed here, it says, V'haposhim v'hamordim. Haposhim v'hamordim. The real Pasuk, as printed in Yecheskel Parachaf, is Hamordim v'haposhim. Hamordim v'haposhim, the rebels and the sinners. Asher ein lehem tekuma klal. This is a reference to those people who sin as an act of rebelliousness, and there's really no hope for such an individual. Aval zeh ha'osa machmas taiva yesh lo tekuma. But a person who sometimes slips up and says, Hashem, I don't want to do this, but I give in to my Yetzirah at times, such a person has very much a hope and a possibility of changing his ways. Ki lezeh ka la'asos tshuva. For such an individual, because he wants to do be'emes, he wants to do what's right, it's much easier for him to get back on track. He has to just actualize that inner desire, that inner will. And that's what the pasuk means, Chet Chata Yerushalayim. Chet Chata Yerushalayim means Yerushalayim Chata Chet Machbas Taifa. When Yerushalayim was sinning, or when the people of Yerushalayim were sinning, or Klal Yisrael were sinning, it was what Megillas Eicha is telling us is that's not a reflection of a desire, God forbid, to rebel against God. It's a Jew who lost his way, and a Jew who's lost his sensitivities, a Jew who's not thinking the way that he should. And therefore, what's the end of the pasuk? When a person, chet chata, chet is lashon of shogeg, when a person does an aveira that's kamat shogeg, he doesn't really want to do that aveira, it's not a reflection of his true self, says the pasuk, linida haisa. Just like an isha nida, who goes through a very temporary period of separation and then returns to her husband, ki linida yesh tahara b'mikvah, because a nida, of course, can come back. She has a very severe tumah, but it can be removed through the process of tahara and mikvah. Masha'ein b'chol ha'tumos, t'hainu sharetz v'sharetumos. When a person comes into contact with the shmona shratzim, or a person comes into contact with a different type of tumah, she'ein la tumah atzma tahara b'mikvah. The tumah item can't be immersed in the mikvah. You can't put a sharetz in the mikvah and make the tumah go away. You can't put a dead body in a mikvah and make it go away. Right? There are types of tumah that the tumah to the person who received that tumah, the person can go to the mikvah, but the tumah item itself can't go to the mikvah to have its tumah removed. As opposed to an isha nida, where she herself is the source of the tumah stems from her body, and yet she puts her body in the mikvah and is transformed. She'ena tuma'at matar b'mikvah. When it comes to a sheretz, again, a sheretz can't be put into the mikvah to be cleansed. It's still a sheretz when it comes out of the mikvah. Aval nida she'at mahatuma yesh latar b'mikvah. But the isha nida, who is herself, again, the source of the tuma, she transforms herself in the mikvah. And that's the idea that when a Jew does an aveira, even if it looks like it's penetrated very deeply, it's not the essence of who one is, and therefore it can be corrected, it can be washed away. How does this bring us back to Parshas Pinchas? Well, it explains the Radisha, where there's two types of dam that a woman can see. And it's very ironic to think that two types of blood, or really one type of blood that is emitted at different times from the body, can produce a toma or a tara. What am I referring to? Dam nida v'dam leida. When a woman becomes a nida, obviously that's a toma. When a woman gives birth, midina de Torah, there's a concept of a dam tara, a period, depending on if it's a boy or a girl. She undergoes a period shortly after her birth of tara. What does that mean, dam tara? If dam is symbolic of midas hadin, of gvura, of tuma, so how could it be that dam ever represents tara? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only sends chesed to the world. Sometimes we've corrupted it through the channels as it comes to this world, and therefore it looks bad, or it presents itself superficially as being a source of tuma. But the very fact that a woman can take her body that experienced that blood, put it in a mikvah and be transformed, is indicative of the fact that there's something in that moment of din, even in that moment of hisrachus, that separation from her husband, which obviously is being meramis to much deeper things spiritually, she was still internally connected, and that's how she has the means of coming back. And therefore, says the Berditchover, in our relationship with Hashem, sometimes there are things in our life that appear to not be chesed at all. But when you follow it through all the way, when you get to the end, you realize that it was mamish a chesed of Hashem. And that's what's going on here. You have a woman who has the potential to become impregnated. If she doesn't, it's a dam tame, she'll become a nida. If she does become pregnant and produce a child, she'll have a dam that comes from the leida, that comes from the birth. And therefore, again, the same source of her body producing what, again, to the naked eye would appear to be the same type of blood, and yet the Torah is able to distinguish between what? The potential of the child, the blood at the beginning, which is Tamei, and the blood at the end, which is Tavar. V'nei dam nida t'chil hu Tamei, ki t'chila nir hadavar lo tov. So dam nida, at the beginning, it appears to be Tamei. It is Tamei, because it appears to us, to our eye, to our perspective, as being something not good. However, the leida, the birth, of course, kishenigmar adavar, when a child is actually born, then that very same blood, or what appears to be the same blood, can actually be called halachically dam tahor, pure blood. Ki kishenigmar nirashutav, because when you get to the end, when you follow it through all the way to the end, you see that there never was anything bad, and everything was kulo chesed Hashem. And that's what it means, says the Radishver, and here's a little bit cryptic, let's see if we can understand. Vizeho remez, Pinchas ben Elazar, Heshiv es chamasi. Pinchas had the ability, through his act of further midas adin, through an act of spilling of blood, through an act of killing and taking vengeance, which is clearly midas adin. In fact, what he was doing was creating a maisa of chesed, and that's why, of course, as many, many svarim say, he's rewarded with a bris shalom. Tahainu shehera de masha b'tchila hu masha b'sof chesed. Now, Pinchas taught this important lesson, that which appears at times from the beginning to be midas adin, to be an act of kinah, an act of gvura, an act of distancing, of pulling people apart. But Pinchas, of course, was saving Klal Yisrael in a remarkable way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore announced loudly and clearly for all to hear what looked like a further act of kinah, in fact created a tremendous chesed. It's almost like the concept in mathematics of a double negative creates a positive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, Pinchas further intensified that anger, lamaisa, by taking action against Cosby and Zimri, but the combination of those two acts of kinah, of course, paved the way for chesed. And therefore, that's something to think about during these days of Bein HaMetzarim, of separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that again, it's only a superficial separation, but as the Bnei Yisachar and so many others explain in a similar fashion, Lenida Haisa, already we've shown him have it a little bit, Lenida Haisa, that the separation is like a Nida, or Haisa Ka'almana, like an Almana, a Ke'almana, as the Mefarshim or Medayik, it's ki almana, she's like an almana, it's not actually an almana, that Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually come back together, and it'll be revealed to all that the bond was never truly severed. That's definitely something to think about during these Yemei Din, these days of Tammuz and Av. Okay, we continue with the second piece. O Yivuar Pinchas ben Elazar. Now it's clear, again in the Pasuk, that Pinchas' lineage, Pinchas comes from Elazar, and Elazar is the son of Aaron, and Aaron, of course, is from Shevet Levi, and Shevet Levi is from the person Levi who comes from Leah. However, what's very interesting is the lineage of Pinchas becomes a little bit more complicated and a little bit more mystical when you look at a Tosfos in Bava Metzia. The Radichever introduces it by asking several questions. He starts off by saying, why does the Pasuk use the word Bisocha? The Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Heishiv es Chamasi Me'al B'nei Yisrael B'kan'o es Kinosi Bisocha, that he performed an act of vengeance among them. I mean, obviously, if he acted on the perpetrators, then obviously it was Besochem. What's the other aspect of Besochem? That Klal Yisrael were present? Of course they were present. This wasn't taking place away from the camp of Knesset Yisrael. That much is obvious to us. So that's question number one. What is the Besochem? Va'od yish ledaktik, de Pinchas lo osa rak davar echad, shahaya mekane kinas Hashem tzavakos. Pinchas performed a single act, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him a double reward. What's the double reward that Pinchas receives? The double reward is the Bris Shalom, and furthermore, Bris Kuhuna Solom. He's made into a Kohen. Now you'll say, why does he need to be made into a Kohen? If he's the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, a Kohen, why is he not already a Kohen? So the answer is that Pinchas was born prior to the Kohanim becoming Kohanim. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Aaron and his sons Kohanim, that did not include grandsons. So on a technicality, he was excluded from being a Kohen. And after this Maisa of Kina, he was granted a special unique status of Kohen, which was a tremendous gift that was given to him. But it's one of two gifts, says the Berditchever, that's given to him. He's given a Bris Shalom, a covenant of peace, and he's given Bris Kuhunas Olam, that forever his descendants will be part of the class of Kohanim. So why a double reward for a single act? So obviously he's being merames to the fact that maybe there was more than one aspect to the Maisa Pinchas. So let's learn what that is. So he quotes again this concept in the Zohar, in the Tosfos and Bava Metzia that I mentioned a moment ago. The concept in the Zohar, which many have spoken about, is that Pinchas ze Eliyahu. That Pinchas is Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu. Tosfos, in Meseches Bava Metzia, Kuf Yadal Ramad Beis, quotes from the Medrash Tana Debei Eliyahu, where there's a Chilukei Deos, who does Eliyahu come from? Is Eliyahu a descendant of Rachel? Or is Eliyahu a descendant of Leah? And Eliyahu himself declares, Ani mi bnei banav shel Rachel. Eliyahu declares about himself, I come from Rachel. Well, that's very problematic if you hold that Pinchas is Eliyahu. Because if Pinchas is the son of Elazar, is the son of Aaron, now we're talking Shevet Levi, so we're talking about Leah. So how could it be that on the one hand, there's an opinion that Pinchas, who is Eliyahu, comes from Rachel, right? And more than that, the Eliyahu himself comes in and says, yes, I come from Rachel. Well, doesn't that challenge the notion that Pinchas is Eliyahu? Pinchas is clearly from Leah. And Eliyahu is declaring loudly and proudly that I come from the Bnei Ban of Shal Rachel. So which is it? Is there a way to reconcile Apipnimius, the two different opinions? And the answer, of course, is yes. Because Kulo Echad, the Torah is one. And the deeper that you dig, you realize that there are no contradictions in the Torah. And there are no contradictions in the Shitos of Chazal. And there's really no Machlokas. Machlokas is always superficial. And the deeper you study something, even what appears to be complete opposites that cannot be reconciled, in fact, can be reconciled, and there are no two things that are mutually exclusive, because everything is a reflection of Hashem's oneness at its shorish. So therefore, says the Berditchever, V'nira de'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Yes, Pinchas is Eliyahu. Pinchas comes on the one hand from Leah. Eliyahu on the one hand comes from Rachel. How could all of that be? Da'aklal hu shim roa adam chas v'shalom b'nei adam sh'over naveira. If you see a person who's engaged in sinful behavior, the kois take off alei. I mean, you take a stand against this person, seems like a very holy thing to do. Umekane kinas Hashem tzavakos, and you seek vengeance on behalf of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, on the one hand, you did a good thing. On the other hand, you use midas hadin against the Jewish people. And if there's anyone who's not into that, to say it simply, that's the kedushas levi. How could it be that a Jew goes and he tries to awaken Midas Adin against Klal Yisrael? You have to wish Shalai B'malami Tzchus on Klal Yisrael. So on the one hand, you don't want to let the sinner continue to do sinful behavior. On the other hand, you don't want to be the source of getting Hashem angry or pointing out the mistakes of Klal Yisrael. When a person Bekane Kinas Hashem Tzavako, says Kedushas Levi, Azai Chas V'Shalom Ba'Ore Dinan Al Yisrael, you're bringing Midas Adin upon the Jewish people. However, Pinchas, despite doing an act of kinah, he did it, as we learned before, again, the double negative that created the positive. An act of kinah that would create a chesed for Klal Yisrael. By the way, it's a chesed for the sinners as well, as we'll see in one of the later pieces. But all the more so for Klal Yisrael, who are potential recipients of the punishment for such behavior in their midst. So therefore, what Pinchas was really doing, again, superficially, he acted with kinah. He acted with midas adin. He acted with gevura. Chazal described in the Gemara Sanhedrin the many miracles that he did in order to really make his point. However, rachasadim gedolim, but be'emes, be'pnimius, it was chasadim gedolim, u'machaper al b'nei Yisrael, and says the Berditchver, he was a melech al Yisrael. He protected Klal Yisrael. He was malamit chus on Klal Yisrael, by taking a spear in his hand and killing two sinners. Kediyisav Gemara, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Peibez and Mabez, Shabba v'chavta makarka, he took Cosby and Zimri on the spear and he threw them down to the ground. He threw them on the floor, so to speak, before Hashem. Va'amar lefadav and said before God, Ribbono Sha'olam, for these two, al elu yiplu chav dalet alef miYisrael, do 24,000 Jews deserve to die because of the sins of these two individuals? And in that way, he protected Klal Yisrael. So again, don't be fooled by the superficial Maisa Kina. Don't think that Pinchas was Ma'orer Midas Adin. Pinchas was rooted in what? In the Midah of Rachem, in the Midah of Chesed. He was saving Klal Yisrael. So because of this, he was given two rewards. What are the two rewards? How do we understand the two rewards? Bris Shalom Machmas Shekina Kinas Hashem Tzavakos. Because he was willing to perform an act of kina on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to balance things out, so to speak, at a time of a perversion of chesed. You know, the Torah in Achrei Mos refers to arayos as chesed. So when there's too much chesed, you need to use a little extra midas hadin in order to balance things out. There's the whole arichas in the Medrash Pinchas from Pinchas Koritzer about why Bilam wanted to curse, so when he was forced to restrain himself, he understood that there was an abundance of chesed in the world, and that's where he came up with the idea to cause Jews to sin with a perversion of chesed, which of course is arayos. But Pinchas was coming to balance things out. And that's the midah of shalom. That's the bris shalom that he received, machmas kinas shem tzavakos. Why is he a kohen? The Torah dafka emphasizes, and he's also a kohen. Why do I have to know that Pinchas is a kohen? Because normally you would think, a kohen is the opposite of one who kills. That may be true, and that's why normally a Kohen who kills actually is no longer eligible to Duchen. But in this case, he dafka acquires Kohuna through a Maisa of what? A Maisa of Hariga, a Maisa of Kina, a Maisa of Din and Gvura. Why? Shai besoch b'nei Yisrael. That's the word besocham. Shai besoch b'nei Yisrael v'loyim mufar mehem. He wasn't separated from Klal Yisrael. He wasn't standing apart. He was saving Klal Yisrael. This was entirely for Klal Yisrael. And therefore he acquired this meat of Kohen, which is Chesed. That's why so many Svarim Kedoshim say that Kohen is Gematria 75, and Chesed plus the three letters is also Gematria 75. That's the idea of Kohen being Chesed is in the Zohar. But that remez that the Svarim Kedoshim bring is to teach us that the Kohen is entirely rooted in Chesed. So in case you thought, a superficial read of what happened here, that Pinchas performed an act of kinah, right? You should realize it's a bris shalom. He's restoring order to the world. It's an act of chesed, an act of kohuna, and that's why he becomes a kohen. U'mechaper al b'nei Yisrael. Everything he's doing is to come to bring kapara for the Jewish people. And that's what the pasuk is saying. Zeu ha-remez b'pasuk. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a kohen. Heishiv es chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael. B'kano es kinasi b'socham. Ve'af al p'chein hayu b'socham. Even though it's a maisa kina, kano es kinasi, but it's b'socham. And he brought upon the Jewish people tremendous chesed. And therefore I'm going to give him the bris shalom. I'm also going to give him kahuna. Why? You're one who brought kapara. You're like a kohen of the Beis Hamikdash, whose whole avoda is to perform acts of chesed and bring kapara on behalf of the Jewish people. Ki afa pisha kinei, keeper al b'nei Yisrael, v'hayim ora aleim chasatim. Even though he was zealous and vengeful on behalf of Hashem, it was all to bring kapara and chesed upon the Jewish people. So is he from Rachel or is he from Leah? Is he from Leah? Is he from Rachel? Is Pinchas Eliyahu or not? The answer is, says the Reditchver, yes. Uvezet tavin de'elu ve'elu de'vi elokim chayim. Now we understand how the two shitas are really one and the same. How are they one and the same? He says as follows: the Be'emes Eliyahu Pinchas. Eliyahu is in fact Pinchas. V'nimtzehu bami b'nei banav shalaya. And of course, Pinchas very clearly, as enumerated and spelled out by the Torah, is a descendant of Leah. So what does it mean in Tana de Be'Eliyahu when Eliyahu himself announces, he declares publicly, Zesh ani Eliyahu ani b'nei banav shal Rachel. That which I am Eliyahu, I am from Rachel. The answer is ki b'sha shekinei kinas Hashem tzavakos ba alav neshama me Rachel. At the moment that he became the vengeful individual that he was, at the moment of this act of kina, Pinchas became Eliyahu, and Eliyahu is in fact on some level from Rachel, and we see that this inyan of kina has a place by Rachel, v'tikanei Rachel b'achosa, as we find in the Bereishis Perek Lamed, that is the midah of Rachel. So Eliyahu says, yes, I am b'nei banav shel Rachel. So on the one hand, Eliyahu is from Rachel, which has a spirit of kina amongst it, of kinaos. On the one hand, Eliyahu is from, you see it by Yosef, by the way, b'nei banav shel Rachel, you see it by Yosef and the brothers, that Yosef is a nazir compared to his brothers. Yosef holds himself to higher standards. Yosef is able to do things that Kenayan Pogimbo. He's able to take a stand on things which are not maybe 100% accepted in normative halacha. But Yosef holds himself to a higher standard. The brothers saw that as very threatening. And that's why they sold Yosef. A lot of this is based on the Shlach Kadosh. Right? But this midah of Rachel, v'tikanei Rachel b'achosa, is the midah of Eliyahu. And of course, the midah of Leah, of Levi, of Aaron, is to be Oiv Shalom Verodev Shalom, is the midah of Chesed. And therefore it's this magnificent combination that at the moment that he performed an act of kina, I became Eliyahu, Sheishli Neshama Yaseirash Ani Nikra Eliyahu, and in that sense, Ani Minei Banav Shal Rachel, in that sense I am truly from Rachel, and that's how I was able to perform this act of kina, and at the same time maintain my roots in Aaron HaKohen, which is a world of Shalom. So this is the balance, and this is the great reward that Pinchas was able to earn by being a person who knew how to use different midos at different times. And that's a very, very important yesod in Avodas Hashem. A person has to know, when is the time for more Ava, when is the time for more midas hadin, midas hayira, when can I be more outward and open and loving, and when is it the time to be to act with greater restraint and to be a little bit more tapped into the world of yira. That balance is very critical, which leads us very nicely into the next piece. Because the next piece, he points out, V'haysa lo lezara achar briskunas olam. You're becoming a kohen. You know why you're becoming a kohen? Well, the pasuk says, Tachas asher kina leloka v'yachaper al b'nei Yisrael. You're becoming a kohen because of what you did. So says the Reditcher, when does Hashem decide to tell a person the reason for his reward? And when does Hashem not announce the reason for the reward? V'nira daklal hu kach. Dinei lef'amim ha-kadosh baruch hu. Sometimes a tzaddik is lifted up, he reaches a new madrega, but Hashem doesn't tell him how or why he was zocha to such a thing. And sometimes Hashem does reveal the reason. Why? What is that based on? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't reveal the reason, Hashem is concerned that if I tell you that this is the reward for doing this activity, you may come to constantly do that activity. You might always be pushing that button, always trying to get that reward, so to speak. If it's understood that you reached a new height based on a particular action, you would constantly do that thing to try to continuously lift oneself higher. But there are times that Hashem doesn't want you to do that thing. Not every good thing is good at all times. Let me say that again. Not everything which on some level is good is always appropriate at all times. You have to know how to apply it and when to use that particular midah. So what at one in one environment is greatly praised and rewarded by Hashem, At other times, Hashem discourages us from using that particular midah. So a person who lacks that nuance, Hashem doesn't explain to them the source of their elevation. And they shouldn't think, oh, this was good? Okay, so I'll always do that. They're missing the point that a person has to know when to do and when not to do. Aval zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea, she'eino mechaven rak la'asos retzono. But the tzaddik who always asks himself, is this good? Is this appropriate? Is this what Hashem wants in this particular situation? And if the time calls for the opposite midah, I might be a descendant of Aaron who's kulo ava and kulo chesed, but says Pinchas, there's a time to act with yira and kenos. That's the very antithesis of where he comes from. So such a person who understands that different times call for different avoda, such a person can be trusted with the reason for why he's being rewarded. And it's not mistakenly understood, oh, Hashem rewarded me for kina, so I must spend my whole life being a big kinai. Again, there's a time and a place, and Pinchas was a person of great nuance who understood that. And therefore Hashem was able to say, I'm rewarding you for this act of kina, but that doesn't mean I'm always encouraging you to act with kina. Eliyahu himself is a very interesting character later in the Torah and later in Tanakh. Eliyahu, on the one hand, is a person who's a big kinai, and on the other hand, we have an image of Eliyahu as being this great lover of Klal Yisrael, and he certainly is. How do we reconcile the two? It's exactly this balance that Pinchas was so exquisite in striking that balance. Pinchas knew full well that the halacha is that a person who kills is not a kohen, is not eligible to be a kohen. Ki kohen shaharigas nefesh lo yisas kapav. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, a kohen who commits an act of killing is no longer fit to raise his hands in birchas kohanim. But Pinchas with mesiras nefesh, he did what Hashem wanted him to do. I remind you that the words mesiras nefesh, the very words mean to give over your ratzon to Hashem. Like we find the parshas Chayesara, that the word hayeshas nafshachem, nefesh means ratzon. Rashi says nafshachem is ratzoncham. If a person has a ratzon to do for Hashem, that means you're giving your nefesh to Hashem. So Pinchas with mesiras nefesh, he gave himself over to Hashem. What does Hashem want in this situation? I want to be a kohen, that's nice, but Hashem wants me right now to do something about this terrible avla, again, this terribly perverse crime, on a superficial level, that was taking place between Cosby and Zimri. So therefore, Pinchas knew how to apply the Ratzon Hashem properly in different times, whatever the avoda called for, and therefore, v'hai salo tachas shar kinei lelokav, Hashem reveals to him, you're being rewarded for an act of kina. Don't mistakenly think that I always desire kina. Learn how to strike that balance. And Hashem says, basically by telling Pinchas why he's being rewarded, that I trust you to continue to know when to use it and to know when not to use it. Okay? Let's go on to the next piece, a small piece. Pinchas Ze Eliyahu. Pinchas Ze Eliyahu, that's the comment again from the Zohar Kadosh. So the question is, if Pinchas Ze Eliyahu, who Chai V'Kayam, right? Eliyahu is Chai V'Kayam. V'lama, the question is why? How does a person become eternal? What makes a person an Eliyahu? What makes a person one who, so to speak, lives forever? Haklal ki aguf asher ba'adam hu rachak mi'avodas Hashem. As we explained in recent weeks, that the body is very distant from Hashem, and the body doesn't always want to serve Hashem. Ki aguf hu choshev etzarches shelo, because the body is interested in what the body wants. Rak haneshama asher ba'adam hi achoshev es tameh biyiras Hashem. But the neshama is constantly seeking to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama doesn't want anything other than the service of Hashem. Aval haguf eino kein, but the body, of course, is on a different track. Lachein hu holech lakever, and therefore the body has to return to a very simplistic place. It has to be broken down. It doesn't have eternity because it's connected to physicality. It is physicality. It's connected to olam hazeh, and therefore it doesn't have nitzchias. It doesn't want to be part of the ultimate source of life, namely Kutchabrichu. Aval be'emes im haya guf gam kein ovedes Hashem tamid lo haya adames. But if the body would also find a way to constantly serve Hashem, then the body could live forever. Well, that's sort of what Pinchas did here. Pinchas rose above his body in a unique way, and because of that, he became one who would live forever. Uve'emes Pinchas haya moser atzmo lemisa b'zeh ha'maisa, as Chazal explained in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he was prepared to die on behalf of this. He was a person who was moser nefesh. Klal Yisrael were ready to kill him. After all, let's not forget, Zimri was a nasi of Shevet Shimon,
And Pinchas was certainly criticized for taking action against a person who was selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It was not a simple matter what Pinchas was doing. But he went ahead with Mesiras Nefesh, prepared to do so, v'nimtza, and therefore, he didn't consider his body at all. He wasn't interested in the Hitzdarchus Gufanios. Rakaya Ored as Hashem be'emes k'mo neshama. He became kulo neshama. Ki aguf be'es aso soze ha'maisa haya kolo haya. He had basically abandoned his body at this moment of Kenos, knowing that he's going to be killed for it. They're going to kill him for killing Cosby and Zimri. He surrendered his body to do the will of Hashem. And by doing so, his body became so refined that the body of Pinchas would in fact live forever. And that's the midah of Eliyahu. Eliyahu Malach Habris. He lives forever in a certain way that we don't really understand. But that's part of the secret of Pinchas is Eliyahu, and Eliyahu is Pinchas. And therefore Pinchas became eternal in that way, like Eliyahu. And that's what the Medrash says. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, bedin hu sheyitol scharo. What does it mean, bedin hu sheyitol scharo? He earned his reward. What does that mean? Ki kasher biyarnu, shaguf shal Pinchas hayi b'shas maisa kolohaya, by negating his body entirely, by making his body as if it does not even exist, hayaguf nistar, his body was hidden, his body was concealed, his body became irrelevant, and therefore says the Medrash, bedin hu, who is lashon nistar? Who is in the third person, right? Who is talking in a way of detachment, the same way a person would say to a Rebbe or an important person, you know, would the Rebbe like something to drink? You're talking to the Rebbe. Why don't you just say, would you like something to drink? It's a way of talking with a little bit of distancing, because I don't want to put myself in the same breath as my Rebbe, as my guide, as my mentor. So therefore, bedin hu. It was because Pinchas had detached himself. Again, he was distant from his body. He had given up on his body. He had negated his body to do the Ratzon Hashem entirely through his neshama. Machmas shaguf haya nista, because his body was essentially negated, me'aroi litol scharo. Because of that, he took a unique reward that he was zocha to become Eliyahu, and in that way to live forever. O yivuar bedinhu, another pshat in bedinhu shiito schar. And again, one more small piece. Haklal hu. Again, let's not be mistaken. While the Torah describes an act of kina, the reward is a reward of chesed, indicating that the act was a chesed. You shouldn't think that at this moment of vengeance, of anger, of divine rage, that he was raging on behalf of Hashem, that he had lost sight of the midah chesed. Chas v'shalom. Shemana usarash milasos v'shaso. After all, on the simplest level, what was he doing? He was stopping a wicked person from doing a wicked act. So is that good for the person or bad for the person? He helped him. He stopped him from the Aveira. Zeu achesed shel rasha kishamon nimoso me'asos v'shaso. What a kindness you do for a rasha when you stop him from doing something bad. And therefore, bedinhu, afal pisha pinchas asadin, even though it was ma'isa din, yitol scharo, he deserves to be rewarded. Reward, of course, is an expression of chesed. Because Pinchas is midas hadin, was in fact an act of chesed. I'll just mention outside one of the pieces that is right after that. He raises the question, why does it say Pinchas is Eliyahu? It should say Eliyahu is Pinchas. Chronologically, historically, Pinchas came before Eliyahu. And he answers very simply, but it's an important ha'arah, because we always, you know, the Sfarim always say Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Again, Pinchas is Eliyahu. Eliyahu is Pinchas. It should be the other way around. So he explains that in a certain sense, Eliyahu came before Pinchas. By performing this act of Kenos, Eliyahu's soul was inserted into Pinchas, and Eliyahu performed this act, and that would bring Pinchas to his Shlemus. So in a certain sense, borrowing the soul of Eliyahu of the future, before he truly became Pinchas, means that he was Eliyahu first, and then Pinchas. So Pinchas is Eliyahu. That's how he explains it. Okay, everyone think about Hashem for the next 10 seconds. While I adjust the timer on my wife's potato kugel, and then we will continue with three more pieces.
Okay, I'm back. Everyone should have a great Shabbos and enjoy the potato kugel. Stop by. It's very delicious. I highly recommend it. Okay, three more pieces. One outside and two inside. The next piece is, how can Pinchas be a Kohen if he killed? We addressed it a little bit already. How is it possible for a person to be a Kohen? It's a halacha that a Kohen is not eligible to perform the acts of kahuna, which are, again, an act of chesed, if you commit a maisa of din. So we've explained on some level that it wasn't a maisa din. It really was a maisa chesed. And more than that, he explains here that there's machshava, there's dibor, and there's maisa. Machshava ra pushes away one's neshama. A dibor ra, bad speech, pushes away one's ruach. And asiya lo tova, when a person does an act that's not good, it pushes away the nefesh of Kedusha. So he explains, when the Pasuk says that Pinchas struck the one who was afflicted, what does that mean? Ashar huka es hamidyanis. Right? And the shame ish ha-Yisrael hamukeh. Ashar huka es hamidyanis. Basically what the Berditcher says is that Pinchas was killing a dead person. When a person does a maisera, his nefesh of Kedusha leaves him. The lowest level of the soul, there's nefesh, there's ruach, there's neshama, there's chaya, there's yechida. The lowest level of soul leaves a person at the time he does a maisera, and in a certain sense, he's already dead. And therefore, Pinchas killed the dead person, and that would not be a contradiction to his kahuna. He would still be kosher as a kohen. Very interesting idea. Okay, there's a lot more to see, but I'm just going to skip ahead to a piece, fifth to last piece in the parsha. It's Dibra Maschil, O Yevuar, Kel Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar. And thematically, it's a continuation of this idea of the struggle between the guf and the neshama, that the body wants to do its thing and the neshama wants to do its thing. And like we said, Pinchas became Eliyahu by elevating his neshama over his guf. So later in the parsha, much later in the parsha, when it becomes time to appoint a new leader, Moshe's thinking about who's going to take over when he's no longer around, He requests, Kel Elokei HaRuchos, God the God of all spirits, L'chol Basar of all flesh. Explains the Berditcher B'derech Hasidus, HaKlal. Nefesh Adam Iker HaTayva Shalom L'Avodas Hashem. The soul only wants to serve Hashem. Rak HaGuf Hu Sheyesh Lo Tayvas Gashmias. But the body has desires of physicality. Uve'emes HaGuf HaNeshama Shnei HaMaisa Hashem. But the truth is, my body is from God and my neshama is from God. So why should my neshama be interested in Hashem and my body not? Hashem must have programmed it that way. Because our yesh koach ben neshama ben Hashem al avodasi yisbarach, just like the neshama wants to serve Hashem, kein hayachol is biyad Hashem, sheyaguf gamkin ikr tavas al avodas Hashem. Hashem, if you wanted, let's be honest, you could have made my body also want to serve you. Libi ubesari yiranu v'kelcha. You could have made it that way. Unfortunately for most of us, only the Berditcher can write like this. And therefore we have a taina on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Please forgive us from our averos. So Hashem will say, why? You chose to do sins with your body. So we'll say back to Hashem, Kevin sha koach v'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyitin ha-koach ba'aguf l'shabir osol avodasi yisbarach. The reason that we're tining against you is that Hashem, you made our body this way. You could have made our body interested in serving you, and then we would have served you. So it's a little bit your fault. You programmed us improperly. V'yinei ha-nefesh ha-mesav al-avodas Hashem nikruach. So another word for nefesh, a general word for nefesh, is Ruach, is the spirit. As it says, Ruach Hashem Diber Bi, a pasuk in Shmuel. And another name for the guf is Basar. So therefore, that's in the Zohar. So therefore, says the pasuk, Kel Elokei HaRuchos, God the God of the soul, just like you made my soul want to be connected to you, Ata HaMesavim L'Avodascha, you made my soul in such a way that it clings to you, wants to serve you, Kein Tiyel L'Chol Basar Zeh HaGuf. It was a tefillah. Kel Elokei HaRuchos, the same way you program my ruach, the chol basar. You could have done the same for my body, and if it's not something that you're prepared to change for whatever divine reason, at least Hashem know that I want my body to be that way, and please help me, even in some small measure, that my body should be able to cling to you and want to be close to you and to serve you the same way that my soul does. And finally, we'll end today, the third to last piece, three tiny pieces at the end of the parsha, just a very strong vart, which of course reminds us of a piece that we learned in Parshas Mishpatim. Hopefully it reminds us, it reminds me. I hope it reminds you as well. Very, very important piece that we emphasized at the time. That's why I'm re-emphasizing it now at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. The piece here says, when the Parsha discusses the Yom Tovim at the end of the Parsha and the various karbanos, so it says, V'yikravtem isha ola l'Hashem. Says the Berditcher V'Derach Drush V'Chasidus, Im hakrava sholanu hu isha. V'kraftem ishe ola l'Hashem. If you're hakrava, if when you draw close to Hashem, it's ishe, it's fire. When you're on fire for Hashem, the slavus that the Berditcher himself was so much able to express in everything that he did. Lashon ishe slavus. So if you're hakrava, if you're offering, if the mitzvahs that you do are ishe, if it's on fire, l'ham l'choso b'yir of eish gedola, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch with great intensity, then ola l'Hashem, then it will go up to Hashem. Yesh aliyah l'shem havaya baruchu uvruch shemo. And not only will your avoda go up, but you'll lift up Hashem's name in this world, and that's a very chashuv thing. As we say in davening, a pasuk in Tehillim, yimale Hashem kol mishal osecha, which of course the pashut and selfish pshat is that Hashem should fulfill all of our desires, but the deeper pshat, what it says in the Sfar Makadoshim, is that yimale Hashem, to be able to fill, or to fulfill, maybe better, the Ratzon Hashem, that is kol mishal asecha, that is my every desire. Kol bakasha shalanu, yeh legdulas shemo yizbarach sheizgadol. And therefore, v'ikravtem ishe, by offering ourselves fully, fiery, passionately, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ola l'Hashem, it lifts Hashem up in the world, and it lifts us up as well. How does it connect back to Mishpatim? So if you remember, again, if not, take a look. You're allowed to give everyone permission to cheat. You can look back in the Kedushas Levi and Parshas Mishpatim. The last piece of Mishpatim, the Berditchever said, what is the litmus test for a person's Avodas Hashem? How do you know if you're doing well? How do you get a report card in the Avodas Hashem? So the Pasuk said, Umare Kvod Hashem ke'esh ocheles. How do you know if you're bringing Kvod Shemayim? If ke'esh ocheles, if your Avoda is ke'esh ocheles, if you're on fire for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So again, it's an indicator for oneself. It's the way to lift Hashem's presence ever higher in the world. Of course, on a concealed level, it's always there. But to help to reveal the presence of Hashem in this world, we can't be cold, parv Jews. We have to be passionate, fiery Jews. And that will be Ola la Hashem. It will lift up Hashem, Yimale Hashem. Fulfilling the will of Hashem, Kol Mishal Asecha, should be our every desire, and we should do it wholeheartedly. I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. And again, especially Befrat during the Yimei HaMetzarim, Rav Lach Sheves Be'ema Kabacha, as the Tiferes Shlomo of Adam said, Rav Lach Sheves, the Shabbos is so great during the Be'ema Metzarim, we should realize again, amidst all of the kinah and all of the Midas Adin that we feel during these days, it's really Kulo Chesed Befnim, and Shabbos should hopefully give us the eyes to see that and to feel that in our hearts and soul.